Checkmate Music.
Hola, soy Saúl El Canelo Álvarez y estás en Live the Ring Radio.
This is Tim Bradley and you're livinginthering.com.
What's going on, familia? I know it's late. I know it's late, but I did promise everybody on Monday's show that I was going to start trying to do a Tuesday show. I just didn't give you a specific time. Because I'm still working on the overlays and then, like, you know, coming up with topics I want to talk about. Excuse me. And, and then get on here and see if I could chop it up with a bunch of boxing heads, hardcore boxing fans like myself, that, you know, want to touch on certain things, you know. So if you saw the title here, Canelo cherry picking at 168, what's popping there? IBT, what's going on, Outlaw? How you doing, guys? Thanks for joining me and stuff. So going back again, if you saw the title, Canelo cherry picking at 168, I'll tell you why I put that title up there. Okay, as you all know, my co-host Amilcar is doing the show, which is Leaving the Ring Live at 5. It's on his channel. He's doing a great job. It's going to be on. He's going to be on tomorrow, Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific time. 5 p.m. Eastern time. Well, last week he was on D-Style channel and he was making his case and why Canelo is like the pound for pound, the top dog, right? And if anybody wanted to argue with him about it, because in the past you've had like the Charlo fans and the Gennady Golovkin fans and even the just plain out straight Canelo haters to come on and point out why Canelo shouldn't get that position of being the top dog, right? So I was like, you know what? If there's one thing about a lot of fanboys or whatever you want to call them, okay? Guys that obviously don't watch the sport as much as we do, you know what I mean? I've said this numerous times, you know, boxing is just not a sport to us. It's a lifestyle. We breathe it. We sleep it. I mean, it's if there's like a movie that's coming out, a premiere movie, but a boxing match, we'd pick the boxing match. Or if the buddies come over and they want to go out and there's fights on the television, what do? We pick that over going out, right? I remember me, you know, telling the old lady on a, you know, Saturday night, make sure she made no plans on Saturday night, because if HBO Boxing After Dark was on, we're not going anywhere. Or a pay-per-view was not going anywhere. I remember sitting there and praying, because my youngest was supposed to be born on September, the year that Bernard Hopkins and Tito Trinidad was going to fight. I remember sitting there praying to God, like, please don't let him, don't let my wife give birth on the day that a day of the fight. And it didn't happen. God heard my prayers, so, you know. Outlaw, breaking news, Fox Sports ending their contract with PBC. That's still a rumor, you know. I'm not really entirely. I've been hearing that for the past 2 years, actually, so I wouldn't really jump on that just yet, you know. But I mean, like, you know, it's been a rumor for some time that Fox hasn't been happy. But with the new numbers that came out with Caleb, Plant, and Truax, I don't know, that 1.6 average, it definitely will start changing the minds of suits out there, you know, because, and also too, Al Heyman pays a pretty high price to be on those TV slots, okay? So, I don't know. Like I said, it's to be seen, okay? Anyways, don't want to go off track of what I want to talk about here on Leaving the Ring. Quick takes here. Going back with Canelo. Now, I listen to these guys, And a lot of times they don't even have their ducks in a row of why they would not give the throne to Canelo Alvarez as pound for pound or whatever. If you make those lists, I don't make pound for pound lists. I don't believe in them. I think it's very, you know, thin. You could tear it apart. You know, anybody's list, right, is argumentable, debatable. But if I was to make an argument about Canelo Alvarez's career, about what he's doing, this is how I would go about it. Okay, now hear me out. I'm not entirely saying that he doesn't deserve the spot that he's earned, because he's literally fought to be there, being the cash cow. But being the cash cow and being the best fighter, you know, are two different things. But you can't take away that Canelo is one of the best fighters, plus the cash cow, okay? But let's, you know, if you have to look at Canelo Alvarez's career, you got to look at it as there's two parts to his career. You get the early part before 2013, before he got in with Floyd Mayweather, okay? And, he, you know, you can make the argument he was young. He stepped in with Floyd, the biggest test of his career. He was still really green, and Floyd made him step in and fight a catch weight that drained him, okay? That is all true, okay? Had he really fought anybody to get to Floyd yet? I mean, if you look at his career, and I got it up. I believe I should have it up here. Let me post it up here really quick, okay? So if you look at Floyd here, to lead up to Floyd, he had, you know, he had Alfonso Gomez, Kermit Cintron, Shane Mosley, Josito Lopez, Austin Trout, and then Floyd. Those are pretty good names. Really think about it. Before getting in there with Floyd, all right? The Austin Trout was really what sold everybody to think that he may be competitive because he was young, big, and strong to get in with Floyd Mayweather. But we end up finding out, and I remember when this fight was announced, I was on the podcast saying too soon, too early for Canelo Alvarez. And that was done deal. Then after that, he loses to Floyd Mayweather. He goes on strategically, starts facing, he took on Angulo immediately, who really honestly kind of saw the end of his days, okay? Then he gets Amir Khan, same thing, really chinny, making Amir Khan jump up and wait. He also got in with Kirtland, which also too, we saw his better days in the beginning of his career. We knew that Kirtland wasn't the same. But the chase was what Gennady Golovkin was going after Canelo Alvarez. And it was really, you know, Canelo wasn't ready for Triple G. I remember when everybody was pressing for this fight, and I was saying on Leaving the Ring numerous times, was the fact is that Canelo wasn't a 160 pounder yet. And what good does it do for Triple G to beat a guy that had never even ventured to 160, hadn't even flirted in 160? But then Canelo decides to do the one thing that we all thought he would do, which is go after Miguel Cotto, who wasn't very dangerous at 160, okay? Takes that title, what does he do? Wins, vacates it, drops back down, okay? Then we thought, okay, he's not going to face Gennady Golovkin. He's ducking Triple G. He finally gets in there with Triple G, fights him. I thought he lost. They end up giving it a draw. Gets right back in with Triple G, wins that fight. I thought he won that fight. People still argue that Gennady won both fights. Whatever the case, whatever you think, it's your preference. It's you own it, okay? I'm owning that I thought the first fight he lost, second fight he won, okay? After that, you know, he decides to go after Rocky Fieldings at 168, which was the weakest title holder at 168. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely, there's nothing wrong with that, okay? Because he hadn't tested that water at 168. He hadn't even stayed at 160 very long. So I thought it was a good idea, you know, for him to go up and get a title at 168 to see, because it was unknown territory for Canelo Alvarez, right? He takes that jump. He takes that fight. Then what does he do after? Well, at 168, stays there, faces Danny Jacobs. Now, Danny Jacobs, we knew he was wear and tear. We knew that it wasn't the Danny Jacobs that faced Gennady Golovkin, who gave Gennady Golovkin a run for his money. A lot of folks had it a draw. I had it a draw. A lot of folks had Danny Jacobs winning that fight. Goes back again. What is your preference, right? You know? Then after that, he makes the unbelievable jump to 175 and faces Sergey Kovalev. Now, I thought Sergey Kovalev was going to give Canelo Alvarez a much better fight than we were anticipating, okay? But instead, it was a shutout. He beat down Sergey Kovalev. Then, just last year, but the end of last year, of 2020, he gets in with Callum Smith, who by far you would have to say is the best 168-pounder in that division. Callum Smith, resume, look it up. I shouldn't have to do your job, right? If you're a casual fan or you're arguing that Canelo doesn't need that to earn that spot. Now, this is where I could argue making their point that they cannot make on their own, okay? And I'll definitely get to everybody's, you know, comments here. You know, and then we'll talk about it, but I just want to get this, what my quick thought about, quick take about this Canelo Alvarez cherry picking the 168 division, okay? After beating Triple G, let's think about this. The toughest fight, two fights in, or two opponents in Canelo Alvarez's career that stand out is Floyd Mayweather, who he lost to, and then the back-to-back fights to Gennady Golovkin. After that, going in with Fieldings to Kovalev, Danny Jacobs, and even Callum Smith, he was the favorite. Wasn't the underdog. It's really rare that you see Canelo Alvarez become the underdog. But let's go back a little, back to 2013, okay? After he loses to Floyd Mayweather. He goes after Angulo. He goes after Kirtland, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And 154. Let's focus at 154. He gets a title. Doesn't really, you know, fights whoever, but never really talks about unifying division. Now, remember unifying. The key word is unifying. Unifying a division is the thing you want to remember. That's the, highlight that word, okay? Because we're going to come back to unifying a division, okay? He's at 154, okay? And he goes, jumps back up. I mean, he jumps up for the middleweight division and fights Cotto. Drops it, goes back down. But again, goes back again and gets Gennady Golovkin, as we mentioned. But never again doesn't unify the division. What does he do after he finally gets the win over Gennady Golovkin? He jumps to 168 and gets a title there. And again, never hear about unifying a division. Jumps up to 175, and he gets, you would have to admit, is the more shop-worn fighter, Kovalev, at 175. But I still thought it was a dangerous fight, okay? Because it's Kovalev, the crusher, right? Drops that title, comes back down, now decides that he wants to unify the 168 division. Why was this never mentioned at 154, 160? Forget 175, but just those two divisions alone, especially at 160. Why was there ever any talks about unification belts? Why only 168? Well, let's look at 168. Who's that 168 that holds the title at this moment? You got, you at the time you had Callum Smith, who he beat, got that title. Fieldings, who he beat, got that title. But in the last two standing now are BJ Saunders and Caleb Plant. And they're very similar. Very similar. Okay, both don't carry big punches. Both are not killers in that division. You look at the middleweight, you got some questionable fighters there, that 160, okay? Some dangerous fighters there. You have the Charlo, you have Andrade, two completely different fighters. And I don't know about you, but I think Demetrius Andrade is a much bigger puncher than Caleb Plant and even BJ Saunders, okay? Charlo, we know, is very physical, very athletic, explosive. Now, does he hate, does there questions looming around his head? Absolutely. But again, never did he mention unifying the middleweight division? Why not? Why didn't he ever talk about that? Why did he just focus at 168? A very weak division. Now, if I was one of the Canelo haters or the Charlo fanboys or, you know, anybody like that, that would be my argument. And I just sit here and wonder, why doesn't anybody point this out? Okay? Again, now, you're going to sit here, and here's for the Canelo haters. They're going to say, see, I told you, Dave. I told you. See, you're even now bringing up a point that we didn't even think about. And the only reason you didn't think about it, just not a really hardcore boxing fan, and you don't look at history. And I'm going to tell you why. You can't just put this on Canelo and what he's doing strategically in this plan of deciding to unify the 168 division. Okay? And I'm going to tell you why. Because it doesn't lay on him. You know, I know you guys have all heard this phrase. Don't hate the player, hate the game. Well, in this situation, don't hate the fighter, hate the game. It's not Canelo's fault and his team's fault that they strategically are a lot smarter and better at business, okay? When they decided to jump up to 175 and face Kovalev, they took a page from Roy Jones Jr., who did the exact same thing when he was rated at 175 as a lightweight, okay? What did Roy keep flirting with at the time? I want to fight a heavyweight. He actually started tagging his name with Lennox Lewis. You guys remember that? He keeps saying, I want to fight Lennox Lewis. He was even saying Mike Tyson at that time when Mike Tyson had already been beaten by Danny Williams. He kept saying, I want to fight Mike. That's my dream fight. But I want to fight Lennox Lewis. So what did he do? He decided to jump up and get the weakest link of the heavyweight division, which is the quiet man, John Ruiz. Gets that title. Did he stick around? Talk about unifying the title? No, he went back down. That's number one. That's the first page he took. The second page is he took one from Floyd. Okay? Floyd, and it's kind of similar, but not a whole lot, okay? But you have to look at the way the pawns are moved, okay? Floyd retired out of the welterweight division, waited for everybody to fight each other, and then he went in when the division was weakened. Well, he kind of seems to say the same thing about Canelo Alvarez at 168. He sees that as really, really weak division. Now, I know you guys are going to say, but Dave, you got David Benavidez, you got David Morrell, you got some guys in the 168, but they don't hold a title. And who's to say that Canelo Alvarez, after he unifies, because the plan is to unify this year. Think about it. Okay, first he's got to get past his mandatory, then he has to go after, he's going to get BJ Saunders in May, then September talk is Caleb Plant, right? If he's able to accomplish this with no hump, no bumps, and gets this done, who's to say he sticks around at 168 to face those monsters like David Benavidez? Let me ask you this, is Canelo Alvarez, since getting that win over Triple G, has he not been the favorite over everybody? Will he not be the favorite over BJ Saunders and be the favorite over Caleb Plant? Sorry, Caleb Plant? He will. He definitely will. So could you make a case that he's a cherry picker? You absolutely can, but then you got to go back again. It's the game. It's not the fighter. The fighter's team draws up a plan, and the fighter does what the plan is there available, okay? And again, he could be called out about why he decided to take the 168, and why did he not ever decide to unify the 160? Why did he flirt at 175? Why did he do it? And I think the easy answer it is, well, you know what? I knew it would spark up interest. I knew that it would get asses in the seat, and it was a perfect champion to take advantage of who's on his way out. Not just his toe was at that outside the door, it was his whole body. That's why he decided to take that. And like I said, if you look at other champions, everybody's done it. Every champion that's a household name and pulls a draw have all done it the exact kind of same way as what Canelo Alvarez is doing, you know? So I sit there and I go and I listen to these fanboys and I listen to these Canelo haters. And they're all coming up with the wrong thing when you can focus on exactly what's in front of you, which is how he's maneuvered himself to get in this position, which a lot of folks like to use the word deserve. It's not deserve. It's called earn. Okay. Now, does Canelo have the best resume in boxing? Yeah, you have to admit that. But then you can nitpick that resume as well because of the older champions, and then some guys are on the way out, et cetera, okay? Because in all honesty, only two fighters in his whole career, of all the guys he's fought, he was not the favorite. Everybody else, he's been the favorite to beat. You know? So if you want to question how daring is he to be great, you could question that. You know? I mean, boxing, yeah, it's one of those things where you can get an Andy Ruiz night. It does happen in the sport. But the majority of the bettors in Vegas, and you always got to go with the bookies out there, is they're going to call it right. And they've been right about Canelo Alvarez and picking him to be the favorite, pretty much everybody he stepped in the ring with. You know, the only ones that you were scratching your head about was Floyd Mayweather and then Triple G. That's my quick take about Canelo Alvarez cherry picking at 168. Tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me what you think. Give me your input. I'm going to check out the chat room really quick. And I got the fight schedule here for February 13th all the way to the 27th. Check that out. We got some good fights lined up in February here. You know, if anybody's complaining about the February calendar, just show them that. Those four fights alone there on the fight screen here should get your blood boiling and stuff. Okay, let's go on up. Okay, let's see. All right, let's go with... let's see. Jesus M says, this is the order Canelo should fight David Benavidez, Andrade, Charlo, and Berlanga. He should. Berlanga's not, you know what though, the thing with Berlanga, and that's what I was meaning, the 168 division, I get what he's doing. It's historical. If he unifies that, you know, I think Nato, one of our callers on Monday, or somebody else was saying, he'd be the first one. Not even, nobody else in 168 have ever unified that division. I'd have to double check that. Don't hold me to it. But if he does it, it's historical for Canelo Alvarez to do that. But like I said, Benavidez, Berlanga, these guys here don't hold anything that he wants. It makes me wonder, David Benavidez was still around and had that title. I'm sorry, not he's still around, but I mean holding that title. When would there have been talks of unifying that division? Makes me, it's one of those things you want to go, I'm not really sure yet, okay? But again, you can't hate the fighter. You got to hate the game, okay? And it also makes me wonder, will he stick around at 168 to try to keep the unification bout, or does he drop it? Does he decide to jump up to 175, which a lot of folks are calling for, saying that in order for him to be, you know, the it factor, the pound-for-pound guy, to get all this respect and that everybody's giving him, he's got to jump up to 175. That makes me wonder, if he does 168, does he go after the bigger white sharks that are at 175 rather than sticking around for David Benavidez and for Edgar Berlanga? I don't know. Or does he jump back down after unifying and says, ah, the hell with this, let me leave and go to 160. You know, but the current, yeah, okay, Detroit Williams, but the current Canelo destroys Gennady Golovkin. I don't disagree with that. Absolutely not. But when they did face each other, you have to admit, you know, it was a 50-50. Actually, the first fight wasn't a 50. Everybody was picking Gennady Golovkin. I don't really remember the bets in Vegas, but I'm pretty sure it was Gennady Golovkin. And honestly, a lot of folks were picking Gennady Golovkin in that first fight to knock out Canelo. And in the second fight, I think it was pretty even going in. I think a lot more folks thought, hey, well, you couldn't hurt him the first time. But I still think that everybody was edging with Gennady Golovkin to win that second fight because nobody expected Canelo Alvarez to come out and fight Triple G's fight. Right? So that goes that. Fantastic hands. Canelo was calling Cotto before Cotto won the 160 to be clear and fair. Well, yeah, but he did have that title and he wanted that title and he got the title, okay? You know, so no, I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying that, you know, his resume is weak. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, like I said, if I was going to be a hater or to interrupt anybody that's claiming Canelo has the number one spot, I think this would be a better argument. If you want to look at something, look at the division he decided to target. He didn't target any other division and started talking unification belt. Unification, okay? That's the argument that I would use. and Joe Lopez. I criticized Canelo a lot for fighting Amir Khan. You're not the only one. A lot of folks did. You know, a lot of folks did. Yes, please, and double jab, you know, the button there, man, so that we can keep rolling here. Let's see. Troy Williams, that Callum fight was a masterpiece of performance. Like, it was. It was a bad. And that's what I'm saying. You know, a lot of times you get a guy that gets in that position and then it really starts kind of, you know, the cherry picking, like I said, you could use that argument. He is cherry picking a division. But the way he's performing in that division, it's really spectacular, man. Because even Callum Smith was a really good fighter. I mean, almost 6'4", and look how dominant he was. His counterpunching guy, but even when he fought, I'll tell you what was impressive. Even when he fought Danny Jacobs, and again, you got to look at Danny Jacobs, you know, wasn't of the guy that faced Triple G, but it was masterful. And that's when you started really going, okay, he's starting to really show his that he's hitting his prime now, okay? He's hitting that peak of being the best that he could show us, okay? So, yeah, most definitely, bro. Jesus says, Triple G bouts were close. Yeah, they absolutely were, man. Absolutely were. Let's go with, so Hans Sasserack, Hans, no, that's not what started the whole rift between Golden Boy and Canelo. Canelo did want to unify the 160 division. Oscar dropped the ball and Canelo got stripped of one of the alphabet titles. I don't remember that. I would have to go back, man. Let's see. Every division has one or two weak champions. Those are the ones Canelo goes after. Again, see? I mean, you can make an argument about it, you know? Roy Jones was saying he wanted Holyfield after the KO of Griffin. He did. He was always flirting with that. Always, you know? And that's what I'm saying. You know, if we hold every champion for what they've said in the past, you can be, you can criticize every single one of them because every single one of them have done that, you know? And every single one of them, look, a fighter fights. Okay, if you tell the fighter to get in with this guy, they're going to do that. They trust their manager. They trust their trainers. Fighters are loyal, the majority of them, are pretty loyal to whoever's handling their career, okay? So, fantastic hands. You might be right. You know, Canelo's like, hey, I want this. And the promoter dropped the ball or just didn't want to do it, okay? Saw that maybe he wasn't ready for that 160. And I've talked about that before. I thought that Golden Boy did a great job by removing him from the 160 division after getting that Canelo title because I didn't think he was ready for a Gennady Golovkin. I didn't think he'd fill into that body yet. You know, I thought that still, you know, fighting Cotto wasn't the bar for me to say, okay, he's ready to face some tough oppositions at 160. Okay, I thought it was still too early when he got in with Triple G that first fight, you know? So let's go here. What's going on, Ron PMC? How you doing, brother? No, Dom, we can't, man. Unfortunately, because I don't have that. What Emil Carr does is which he patches it into his. He does it on his side. I have to buy that. I'll do that soon so we could take. I could take calls when I'm doing the quick take here, man. So unfortunately, I apologize. Just put in what you want in the chat room. I'll post it up and I'll talk about it. Okay. Let's go. War defeated and undefeated Kovalev, the supposed boogeyman at the time. He certainly did. I thought he lost that first fight, to tell you the truth. Second one, I thought he was a shutout, in my opinion. Canelo has been unified in 3 to 4 divisions. He hasn't held world titles in. Let's see. Canelo grift with Golden Boy started after Oscar fumbled the paperwork with the IBF title and was stripped. He was one fight away from unification. Middleweight and Oscar, in my opinion, purposefully messed it up. You know, and again, I think, you know, there's a strong possibility he did do that because I think he saw what a lot of us saw, that he wasn't ready for that 160 division, you know. He mentally, he was. And think about this. When he wanted to fight Floyd, it was him mentally. They truly believed, him and his whole team thought they were going to beat Floyd. The only ones that didn't think that were the ones who were actually going like, I don't know, man. I think you may be a little too green to jump up and fight Floyd Mayweather. you know. So let's go here. Let's go Outlaw. I knew from the start of a negotiation with Lou DeBell and Golden Boy, I knew he was going to play hardball with them. Lou is upset that it was called that he was called a sham promote shame promoter by Oscar. Poor Lou DeBella, man. That guy's been called out all kinds of times, man. LaRocca, love the show. Might want to have the opportunity to see Canelo fight next fight as it's in his home state, in my home state of Florida. Man, that'd be great. Actually, I was talking to Mel Carr about this today earlier about, you know, can't wait for these fights to open up for everybody in the public to just take a trip and head out there, man, you know. The Don says, I was a huge Canelo hater, but this resume stacked Mayweather, Laura, Trout, Triple G, and just pieced up Callum Smith, a top 160-pounder, and he beats Plant. That's a good name. You got to admit, I that's what I'm saying. Again, I'm just saying if I had to have an argument about Canelo and his about why we're putting him as the top dog and putting him in the position as the best fighter in the world, I think the argument would make of how this what he decided to make to go after the 168, the weakest division, okay? You can make that argument. There is an argument there, okay? Because the what-ifs and what-ifs not, it still can go like, well, he still picked this division. Why didn't he not just stay at 160 after he beat Triple G? Forget the 54, forget the even when he got with Cotto and Oscar dropped the ball. What about after? After he fought Triple G? Could have stayed there. I mean, there were other guys there, too. You did have Charlo. You did have Andrade. You did have, B.J. Saunders at the time. Those guys were there, but he did it. He moved up, okay? Which was perfectly fine. He decided to go up to face Rocky Fieldings. He got that title. Now he's sticking at 168, you know? And that's what I mean. That's the argument you could definitely make in terms of if you want to nitpick Canelo's career. You could personally pick that, you know, Nick picked that, you know, but I just thought that was a great conversation for everybody, you know, to bring up and to hear your guys' thoughts about it. And like I said, the thing is that I was hoping when Amir Carr's show that there was going to be somebody to call in to make an argument. But a lot of times when you get these Canelo haters or even anybody else that wants to make like the Charlo fanboys that want to say like he should fight, you know, Canelo needs to fight him right now. I was hoping they would call in to make their case. But normally you don't really get that. You just get that Charlo deserves this. And I think that was like on you know, Triple G's, G-Funky show, you know, the HCP Uncensored, where you had a Charlo fan keep saying, he, you know, Charlo deserves that. You know, how come it's only Canelo can do it, you know? And I was like, that's not really a good argument there. You should pick something else. Let's go with the... Say, no one can fault Canelo for going for the belts, but I kind of feel that Canelo is at Mayweather stage where he can just chase the fighters he wants to fight, not necessarily a belt. Yeah, I think so too. You know, and I, again, it goes to that it's you can't hate the fighter. You have to hate the game. You know, Floyd was notorious at knowing how to maneuver things in his favor. Okay. He mastered it. You know, it's just like that saying what Mike Tyson once said on I can't remember what show it was, but he said, you know what? The one thing fighters have never learned to master is their money. That is a skill. To handle their money. And you got to admit, Floyd mastered that and it's been pretty skillful. And Canelo Alvarez as well has mastered his money and saw that when he wasn't going to get paid the way he was supposed to, that was promised by, you know, DAZN and Eddie Hearn and from Golden Boy, what did he do? Opt out. He got out of it and became a free agent. You know? Yeah, man. You know what? Come on Monday show, you know, definitely, you know, like I said, we could keep this whole conversation back up, you know, again, there's nothing I'm going to argue with you guys about because I agree with everything you guys are saying, you know, but I'm going, you know, and Well, I mean, I'm being the devil advocate, I guess you could say. Let's see. The Don, why is everyone hard on Charlo fight? I'd rather see him fight Plant. I think it's just because, I don't know. You know what? I don't know why, man. I think, you know, no matter what Canelo does, I mean, it's just already proven. I mean, he could fight Godzilla, man. And they're still going to be like, well, he fought the Godzilla of today. He didn't fight the Godzilla of the 50s, you know. My timeline wrong about what, Hans? Tell me what my timeline was wrong on, brother. I'm not quite sure because I'm talking about so much different stuff here. So just let me know. But yeah, you know, going back again with Charlo, you know, I don't know. I guess because he didn't face him at 160 for whatever reason, he moved up. And like I said, you can't fault him for going after Kovalev because that was a big money fight and it was for history. Whereas for Charlo, I hate to say this. I mean, you can make an argument about this, but Charlo is not a name that's going to move the needle. It really isn't. I mean, he's really hasn't done anything to kind of force and corner Canelo Alvarez. And see, that's another topic there, okay? Another topic that you could definitely bring up is this, okay? Like, I see a lot of guys, like, dump all over Teofimo Lopez, and they're, like, saying Haney deserves to face Lopez now. And I was talking to G-Funky about this, and I was like, what does this word deserve, man? I mean, in boxing, it doesn't really exist. I don't know why people keep saying deserve. It's earn. We got to earn that fight. And how do you earn that fight? Is you shut down everybody. You shut down the corners to that champion where now he has to just focus and say, okay, I'll fight you. What I liked about Lopez, what the kid did, he fought guys like Comey, the Japanese kid. And he kept targeting Lomachenko and every time you put a camera on the guy and the guy got a mic in front of him, he keep bringing up, you know, Lomachenko. I mean, if you look at Sean Porter's career, it's the same way. He's fought everybody to try to corner the champion, so they have to basically face him. I don't understand why are these guys, all these other champions, the younger guys now, are not, they don't get the same type of treatment. Like, why don't they have to do the same things to get the big fight, you know? I said this, you know, if Charlo wanted a fight with Canelo, if Canelo's successful with this 168 unification fight, gets all these fights this year, if Charlo really wanted it, why doesn't he just try to unify the 160? He obviously has the right guy behind him, right? Get that, and then he could jump up and say, look, I got all the titles at 160. Let's make history. I'm the unified champion at 160. I want to fight you, the 168 unified champion. It makes it a big fight. You're cornering now the money guy to now realize you're in the same room. I don't see the issue. You know, that's why fighters fight the fights. You know, I don't play fantasy football or anything else because it doesn't make a difference in boxing. What do we say in boxing? You don't play boxing. You got to get in there and fight the fights, right? Let's see here. He's saying that you got the timeline wrong about the rift with Oscar. It wasn't after the Cotto fight. It started during the negotiations with Canelo. And, you know what? I do remember that, man. You're right. I do remember that. I do remember that. Okay, yeah, definitely, brother. Hans, yeah. If you guys want to call, like I said, Monday, man. I'll definitely try to set up a phone thing so we can plug it in and we can take quick takes here, calls on quick takes here on Leaving the Ring. Because like I said, you know, it is going to be an open forum, man. And there's just like quick thoughts. It's not necessarily I'm right. I'm not trying to make you right. But I was just saying, hey, look, I think this would be a good argument if I was on the other side of the fence and didn't watch boxing as religiously as the rest of you guys, you know. I think so too. I think his head movement, I think the way he counter punches, I think the way he uses his jab, I think Godzilla, especially Godzilla having those short arms, man, is going to have a difficult time reaching Canelo Alvarez. Let's see, Troy Williams, whoever Canelo fights, I'm glad it's on the zone. And the last Canelo card had that matchroom flair to it. I don't know, guess I'm more into the Golden Boy cards. They do have a really clean look, you know. But I do like Top Ranks on ESPN look, man. Really nice. The color, it stands out. It's pleasing to the eye, you know. So, yeah. Now, Don says, if he beats Plant, they are going to say Plant was too young and green, but if Plant is knocking on 30, he isn't some prospect. You're right. You're right. But again, you can make the argument he's going to favor him. So really, where's the challenge? You know? And that's what I mean by the 168. Is it, you know, you got it. I think these are good fights. I'm definitely going to tune in, but I know that other folks are saying I'm not too excited about seeing Canelo Alvarez versus, you know, Plant, you know? Just like I'm not too excited about him facing BJ Saunders. It's not because I don't think it'll be a good fight. I just don't think BJ Saunders should be getting a big payday. Personally, I just don't think he's a good human being. That's why, you know? But these guys are the ones that are holding the title and they're in his way of getting the unification. So that's where he has to go. It's not his fault who's holding those divisions, those titles, you know? It isn't. And that's what I mean. So if I'm arguing with myself and I said, well, you know, it's the weakest division, well, maybe it is. But, you know, I think what the plan is, here's the thing with my argument about plan is, what, and I said this on Monday show, even for, you know, beating a Caleb Truax, we still haven't seen the best. Like, we don't know if you get Plant in the corner, is he going to fight his way out? He doesn't really sit on his punches. So still, there's a little bit of unknown about Caleb Plant. There's still things there to find out. He may shell up, and it may be a shutout for Canelo, or Caleb Plant comes out and fights the best night of his life and his whole career and shocks the world. It's not to be seen. It's happened before. You know what I mean? So, and like I said, that's why we tune in to watch the fights. Absolutely. Boxing. People forget that boxing and Deserve don't belong in the same breath. They really don't, man. They really don't. Because if that was the case, a lot of guys would have got their opportunities in this sport. And as we know in this sport, it's never worked out like that. Never. You've got to fight for your position. And unfortunately, I see more fighters using their time on when they get a chance to be in front of the camera or on social media. They use their time more to be like if they're on a music video. You know, they want to show you how much money they're making. You know, it's like you know, it's almost like these WWE characters. Okay, and I'm not trying to offend anybody that's into the WWE and stuff. You know, at all, but. But we know those are script, right? We know those guys are playing the character. They embody the character. And I don't understand why so many of these fighters are trying to do this. But it'd be perfectly fine if they fought the fights, though. Like, I would be perfectly okay with this over-the-top character that you bring to camera if you fought the fights, okay? Like, Hector Camacho Sr. was this over-the-top guy, but he did fight everybody. He tried to fight everybody. Okay, you know, Jorge Paez, you know, was another guy. The Cloud Prince of boxing was another guy who was way over the top. Okay, you know, but I mean, he didn't have the star power that Camacho had to pick and choose, but he had to fight who they gave him, right? Prince Nassim Ahmed was another guy that was way over the top, but times, you know, fans got tired of waiting for him to fight somebody good, you know. Everybody was like, okay, that's great. You knocked out this dude, but when are you going to fight one of the top guys in your division? And he thought he was trying to pull what Canelo did going after Kovalev. He decided to go after Barrera. And then what happened, you know? So like I said, I don't have a problem with the over-the-top personalities, but I want you to back it up. Like Teofimo Lopez Jr., his personality is not one that I honestly care for, how he portrays himself on camera and all that. But you know what? At least the kid walks the talk, and I respect that more. Canelo avoiding war fights to not take so much punishment. Maybe so. You know, maybe so. Let's see. Billy Saunders hasn't fought anyone good in 4 years and is getting the Canelo fight. Doesn't mean you are wrong about Charlo, though. You're right. You're right. But again, where's Canelo at 168? Where's Charlo at 160? And again, it goes off to that whole deserve, like you're saying right now. You know, it doesn't mean I'm wrong, but it doesn't mean that you know, I mean, again, the strategic plan was to unify that 168. And one of the guys that have that title turns out to be, you know, BJ Saunders. Golden Boy are better than Match Room. I don't know. You know, I honestly, I think every promoter has there's some faults with them. There's always room for improvement, in my opinion, with every single promoter. I criticize every promoter, to tell you the truth. I balance it out, man, because I think that you got to praise them when they do right, but then you got to call them out for when they do wrong. You know, the one thing that I've tried to do my best is to be as unbiased as I can, you know, and to try to give. To listen with both ears, not just one. You know, I don't like lending out one ear. Immortal says, I love the Canelo versus Saunders fight because we will see Canelo attempt to achieve something historic, and we get to see Saunders get his ass beat and battered like onion rings. You know what? And that's the only reason I want to watch that fight, bro. Honestly, that's the only reason, okay? Now, if you like trash talkers, and if you like, okay, When Adrian Broner got battered up by Chino Madonna, how fucking refreshing, how great was that? I mean, how many people stood up and got closer to the screen every single round or every punch that Chino landed and that rocked Adrian Broner, okay? I mean, I got to tell you this. I think the fight was in December. Refresh my memory, guys. I think it was in December. And I remember, and it was wintertime when it happened. But I remember I was the only one home, and I was literally like this close to the TV screen, okay? And just shouting and screaming and loving every second of Adrian Broner eating his words. And also like taking the tactics that he's been able to get away to doing to other fighters, and to see Chino do it to him was great. And I hope that Canelo, because I can only see and envision the tactics that BJ Saunders is gonna do with Canelo. You know that he's gonna trash talk. You know he's gonna try his best to get into Canelo's head. And there's no boundaries with BJ Saunders. Like I said, this is not a very good human being. The guy's a piece of shit. We all know that. You know what I'm saying? I don't think there's no. I'm not gonna hide my feelings talking about BJ Saunders. I think the guy blows as a human being. You can't deny his skills. He is a skillful guy, but he's a terrible human being. Okay. So you know he's going to actually hit below the belt right from the get-go with Canelo Alvarez. So that those – and I'll tell you what. I have not been a guy since YouTube has been available and the internet and you can stream the Pence press conferences. I have not been a guy that actually tuned into any of that anymore because you can't really read anything. I think everybody tries to play the same, you know – try to do the same stuff. Nothing's really genuine, okay? But in the past, and I'm talking about in the 90s, I used to watch every little thing, and I remember I would just love it, man. It made me even more pumped when, like, Ricardo Mayorga, you know, slapped Oscar De La Hoya, when Marcos Antonio Barrera punched Eric Morales, you know, when Bernard Hopkins snagged the Puerto Rican flag out of Tito Trinidad's hands and threw it on the floor in Puerto Rico and got chased out of the arena. Those that got me so amped up. And I have a feeling that the BJ Saunders and Canelo is going to kind of just be similar to that, but probably even more grittier, you know? So I'm looking forward, not just to the fight, to see hopefully Canelo batters him up, if possibly. I don't think he will stop him, but just beats him to a pulp. But I'm actually looking more forward to the press conference. Let's go down here, you know. Let's see here. What's up, Raider? How you doing, brother? Okay, I'm way behind. You guys were just over here commentating. It was, man. Chino. Yep, absolutely. And then again, like I said, you know, I am looking forward to the Canelo plant. I do like that fight. Yeah, you know, again, if you're going to nitpick it, he is the favorite for all three fights that he's planning to do in 2001. And that's why, too, you could say it's cherry picked. This is the cherry picked division for him to take because all three of them really honestly don't pose a major threat. You know, even the fight in this month here, Yurdum, who's being trained by Joel Diaz, who's one of my favorite trainers. Okay, I have nothing but respect for Joel Diaz, who helped Timothy Bradley be who Timothy Bradley is. You know, the Desert Storm. He had a big part in Timothy Bradley's career. Diaz is a very intelligent trainer, but I don't think that's going to help him much. You know, for going in to face Canelo. I think Canelo right now has just got too much in the bag. You know, he has too much stuff in the arsenal there that it's going to be hard to keep up and be a step ahead of Canelo Alvarez. Right now, he looks so fluent in everything that he's doing, you know. And I've mentioned this, you know, from going forward, going backward, from counterpunching. The one thing that I used to criticize about Canelo and used to say was the way to get Canelo out of his comfort zone is make him become the lead dancer. Well, when he got in with Callum Smith, he looked phenomenal being taking the lead. You know, he didn't look like when he fought Arizlandi Lara, he looked uncomfortable. When he fought Floyd Mayweather, he looked uncomfortable, you know, because he was a natural counterpuncher. But now he looks like he's mastered both styles, coming forward and going back, you know. And you could actually give a lot of credit to Gennady Golovkin for contributing to that because Gennady kind of forced the best out of Canelo Alvarez, you know. So, you know, that's why I'm saying Joel Diaz. I respect him. I love him. I think Joel Diaz is a future Hall of Famer. The guy's full of knowledge, knows how to give the perfect direction to his fighters. But I've said this before, you can give him the right instructions, but it's up to your fighter to now implicate it and then perform it in the ring. Those are two different things. So, let's go here. Canelo would be the betting favorite over anyone at lightweight and under. The bets would stew into his favor because of his fans putting money on him. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what it pays to be the boss, I guess, right? To be the cash cow in the boxing division, you know. And again, he's earned that right. Didn't deserve it. He earned it, you know. But yeah, man. Anyways, hit that like button. And I hope you guys enjoyed this quick segment here of my quick takes about Canelo cherry picking the 168. Don't shoot down my neck about it. I'm just saying if I had to nitpick his career, you could kind of dab it. But you see how there's holes in everything, you know. And like I said, I'm not talking to a bunch of Sunday night quarterbacks here when I get on Leave and Ring. Our listeners and our fans are hardcore boxing fans. We don't pander to casual fans. We pander to real hardcore boxing fans, psychopedias and stuff. And I always appreciate that because you guys will always refresh my memory and make me go like, oh, shit, that's right. Or, you know, or bring something up that I completely forgot about or I didn't even know. You know, I always learn something new every time I'm on the show with you guys and stuff, man. Let's see, really quick here. Immortal says, the experience from the Trout, Floyd, Laura, Cotto, Triple G, Jacobs fight have made him a truly an elite fighter. It's the ingredient that the other champions in boxing are lacking. Again, you know, Immortal, it goes back to what I was talking about here is what you even said in the comment box is the word deserve and boxing don't belong in the same breath because, you know, he didn't deserve to be as this skillful. He earned his way to be this skillful. The resume of names that he has, it's pretty stacked. That's not debatable. You could debate the times that he got them. You know, one guy was out or one guy was over the hill. That is debatable, but these are names that are going to give you experience, okay? Ioka and Tanaka, just bringing up this fight here, okay, which was a great fight that ended the new year for 2020. It lived up to everything. It just didn't become fight of the year for us, okay? But a lot of us were excited about that fight. I had picked Ioka because the fact that I thought the experience was going to be a major factor in that fight. I wasn't questioning Tanaka's power, his speed, or any of that, but I was questioning whether or not he was going to be as crafty as the more experienced warrior, okay? And when Canelo was facing the Cotos and the Laras and the Trouts and the Floyd Mayweathers, it's experience that he was actually taking off. And, you know, we always say if a guy loses something, go back to the drawing board, right? You know, they have to go back and look at what they did and watch fight tape, okay? I saw a segment with DAZN, talking about DAZN. You know, and they always lack content. They need to put more content on their app. But they have a segment where they're showing Canelo Alvarez watching the Trout fight. And watch how he's so focused in this, and he's like, it's very intense on how he's like studying himself and Trout. That's what a fighter does. I always get baffled when I talk to a fighter, or even like when I had a trainer on, which was Buddy McGirt, and Buddy McGirt goes telling me he was training Kovalev to get in with Canelo Alvarez, and I said, Buddy, how much tape did you watch about Canelo Alvarez? And he says, I don't watch any fighters. I don't watch any tapes on any fighters. And if you watch tapes on fighters, you shouldn't be training. I didn't argue with him, disagree with him, because you can't argue with Buddy McGirt. I mean, this guy's a lifetime career fighter and a Hall of Famer and a trainer, okay? But I was like, really? Like, I don't know if I would do that. And when I've talked to fighters, they say the same thing. I really don't watch the fights. I really don't watch boxing. And I'm like, so that I sit back then, how do you perfect what you're doing? How do you not look at something and go, that guy throws a hook off of, you know, off of his straight right. He's finishing with the left hook. Okay, or this guy's starting his right lead right on a southpaw, you know, or this guy's pivoting, but he's not taking four steps back. He's only taking a step back so he can counterpunch. He's not working his way back in. You know, how do you not know how to do those things if you're not watching fight films, either of the present or the past, right? And what I liked about Canelo is you see he's the student of the game. And that seems to be lacking in the sport. That seems to be like a dying thing in the sport, just like the word contender. Now everybody has a title, right? So we don't even hear the word contenders anymore in boxing, you know, where there's one word that should exist, another word should go. Deserve should go in boxing, and contenders should replace it, because that's what really we need back is contenders. And again, you know, students of the game, they need to come back. These fighters, so many of these fighters, and I was going back about the over-the-top characters, okay, that they're more focused on their image rather than how they're going to perform. I mean, Tank Davis has got this aura around him that he's this big puncher, but we haven't really seen him do anything of that sort against, you know, guys that right now, I mean, like Galboa, a one-legged fighter, didn't take him out of there, but everybody's already saying that he could beat, you know, Ryan Garcia, or even like Teofimo Lopez at 135, but he hasn't done anything there. You know, Devin Haney can beat, you know, Lopez and Lomachenko, but he hasn't really fought anybody. And that's what I'm saying. It's becoming a lost art. I like to see these fighters, you know, go back, study tape, and then maybe they may be more confident. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is that's lacking in our sport, man. So LBC says, most wanted. So why does those fighters fight each other? I'm not understand what you mean. So why does those fighters fight each other? Hit me in the comment box, bro. Tell me what you mean by that there. You know, again, you know, in money. I mean, I think that's what you're going with there is about, you know, why are they not fighting? I mean, money, you know, most fighters now are not seeking the legacy part. That's why I respect, look, again, you could nitpick Canelo's move 268 and deciding to go after these champions that are not killers in terms of punching power. But historically, he's doing something. He's unifying it, okay? Teofimo Lopez, you got to respect his move. He went after the guy, the man to beat, the, you know, he beat the man you're supposed to beat, which is Lomachenko, okay? Everybody else is talking about, I want to do this, I could do this, but nobody's making the initiative of even doing it, okay? It's, when it comes down to it, it's all money. Money, 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 money. And that's why that word deserve, you know, should be removed. It should be earned. You should, if you want a X amount of money, you should have to earn it. And what I mean by earn it is that you corner the who said champion. So they're kind of now forced to deal with you. They can't avoid you anymore. You know, I mean, if you look at fighters of the past, like Marvin Hagler, they did that. They had to fight all these guys because, you know, they weren't going to get that opportunity. You know, Aaron Pryor, you know, had to fight everybody to get that big money day. Okay. Floyd Mayweather, I mean, he just wasn't given, you know, the platform of pay-per-view. He literally had a fight to get to that platform by getting Oscar De La Hoya. You know, this is the way it's been written for years. You know, there is no easy road in boxing. And when it has been an easy road for a guy to get to that pinnacle of where they were aiming for without, you know, earning the spot, how fast have they been taken out? A prime example, Andy Ruiz. All the talent in the world. If you go to Southern California, every gym will tell you about this guy super talented. But he's been kicked out of every gym because he's lazy. Now he's with Canelo Alvarez. But he literally gets the shot to get AJ. And many folks were like, how is this guy getting that fight? I mean, what did he do? What did he do? Right? He gets the fight. He owns the fight. He upsets the world. But then what happened? It fizzled out of his hand. Why? Because he probably didn't really, I mean, you could argue about that. Could be another thing we could talk about. But you could really say he didn't earn that fight. He got the opportunity and he seized it. But he didn't earn it. And maybe that's why he was so easy for him to let go of it. Right? Let's see. Philly, what's going on, brother? Sanders, going to give that boy a boxing lesson. I think that's right, Philly. You're thinking that BJ is going to beat. Or I don't know if, I mean, if you're messing with me, but I think I heard you say that you think that BJ is going to beat Canelo, right? I could be wrong. I thought Kovalev used good strategy against Canelo. I thought so too, you know. Try to use his height, his jab, and outbox Canelo. I had a close fight before Canelo KO'd Kovalev. I couldn't disagree with that at all. I even talked about it on the aftermath of their fight. But you could question. I had thought that the yard fight took a lot out of him, didn't rest up, and immediately just jumped back right in there to fight Canelo Alvarez. It was a big payday. You know, and you know what? Whether you like it or not, some fighters need to recuperate, especially if they've been in a hard fight. And I thought Kovalev's body was not well rested. Not making any excuses. I thought Canelo was the clear winner. He did his job, got him out of there, and enough said about that, right? And there you go. Philly's picking BJ. All right, guys, I think I'm all talked out here, man. Hey, hopefully you guys join us on Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Call in. If you guys want to continue on this discussion, absolutely can. If you want to pick something else on Monday, you certainly can. That's why it's there, leave it in the ring. We'll have all that set up and go so we can take calls and stuff. Hopefully we still got our guests that we got scheduled. We didn't get Robert Ghost Guerrero because he is in training camp getting ready for a fight either in April or May. That's what the talk is about. Hopefully we can get him on this Monday. If not, we have somebody else scheduled in the timeline. But we definitely want to get to the calls, man. So don't forget, 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern time. And don't forget that Amilcar is going to be on at 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern time, and he's actually got some really good topics. If you guys haven't checked out his channel and his shows, he's been picking some really, really, really good topics, as well as, don't forget, you got HCP, which was on tonight. It's every Tuesday at 7 p.m., and then tomorrow, you got on G-Funky's channel, You got a HCP Uncensored. And then on Monday, same day on Monday, you get the shoe sign on their YouTube channel, which is at 7 p.m. They start right after our show. All right, brothers. Thanks again, man, for joining me. Be safe out there. Don't drink or drive. Stay home. Wear your goddamn mask so we can all get back to the fight so I can meet up with everybody. Because hopefully when this all ends and everybody, it opens back to the public, we can all get together, sit down, and have a couple of brewskis and chop it up and talk some real boxing. Again, guys, have a great night. I appreciate everybody tuning in. Checkmate Music.